You are tuned in to a Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to A Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, my guest is Melissa Seaman. Melissa is a Stanford-educated attorney turned shaman and psychic. Since the year 2000, she has provided deep shamanic healing long distance to over 1,000 people worldwide. She is an oracle for deep feminine wisdom. Her words serve as a transmission of wisdom long forgotten, empowering and healing her listeners. She speaks openly with depth about intimacy, integrity, and intuitive awakening. You can find her at www.yonishaman.com. So let's welcome Melissa to the show now. Hi, Melissa. How are you?
Hi, Lance. I feel great. Thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, well, I'm just delighted to have run across you. A good friend of mine, Helen, mentioned your name, and she was raving about your work, and she said, oh, you've just got to have her on the show, and you were kind enough to just turn on a dime and come right on without any, without a lot of fall draw. She said, yes, I'm available. I'd love to. So
absolutely. I had a huge yes to being here.
You know, doesn't that seem like a way that the universe and the divine wisdom works through us, is that it presents us with opportunities, and the opportunity is there when you say yes. And, of course, it's our choice to say no.
It's actually one of my favorite topics.
I
call it the resonant yes. It's when the yes in me is so loud that it's not even a decision anymore. Like, the whole body sort of lights up with a yes, and then I'm on my way, and I think to myself, well, how did I decide to do that? And I realize it wasn't a brain thing at all. It was a resonant yes. Like, there was literally a frequency of yes coursing through my body. And I've learned more and more from my teachers to just follow that, and especially in these crazy times, to actually wait for it. Like, just don't do anything. Yeah. Until everything lights up with the resonant yes, and then, whew, you know you got it.
Right? I love that. Yeah, that's great.
Well, it feels good. Yeah.
And that is kind of the message, too, from our bodies, that when it feels good, everything is aligned. So that's exactly what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love it. And you've heard people describe it as the chakras lighting up. Bing, 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 bing. You know, like... Every chakra kind of has a voice, or every part of us has a voice. The part that's kind of scared of everything, that's primal, is still saying yes. And the part of us that has all of its desires and lusts is still saying yes. And the part that's really sensitive is saying yes. And the voice is saying yes. And the mind is saying, yeah, why not? Which is as close to yes as the brain gets.
Right. Really, no kidding.
And everything just lights up and we're on our way. So, yeah, I had that resonant yes. When you asked me to be on the show a couple days ago, I thought, yeah, this is a yes. We're going to do this one.
Well, that's wonderful. I was kind of curious how your journey evolved, because it's almost as far as you can get from being an attorney, which is generally what left-brained, to a shamanic oracular psychic healer, and which is right-brained and intuitive. Do you want to share a little bit about that at all?
Sure, I'd be delighted to, because I'm still amazed at it myself. I mean, in 1999, I was an attorney, a practicing lawyer. I'd done litigation. My dad was a judge. I grew up in the courtroom. Like, I loved it. I had a great practice that I really loved. And I was Catholic. I was deeply involved in my Catholic church as well. I led retreats and played guitar at Mass and was just deeply in love with the Catholic church. And I gave birth to my daughter in August of 2000, and it was a very ecstatic life-changing birthing experience. I mean, my first birth was normal, long, painful, all that stuff. Good, mm-hmm. you know, natural. Had a mm-hmm. great birth, but, you know, it was normal. This mm-hmm. second birth happened in 4 hours and just felt great. like a belly dance birth is what I call it. And it felt so good that after that I was pretty, I guess my channel really got blown open, you know. And while I'd always been rather intuitive and led by my gut and having good connection with the divine, what happened after Clarice's birth was I was receiving more messages for other people, and the same spirit of God that I'd always known was coming through, and with a bunch of different characters attached, kind of different voices, and what I started referring to as my spirit guides, angels. And I could tell this was still trustworthy information, you know. And so it was a huge change, and I get to giggle about it now, but at the time I wasn't actually giggling. I was in my private life, it felt so right and so true and so authentic for me, for just me. When I just thought about me and my little imaginary world, which suddenly got very real, it was delightful. But it was very hard for me to relate with the rest of the world, relate then with, what do? My whole social life was in the Catholic Church. My family is very traditionally Catholic. You know, I was married to a Catholic. I mean, it was a big shocker, and it really rocked my world. And yet my guidance was so true and felt so right for me that I just kept following my guidance. And it took us a few years, but after a few years of stumbling through my own intuitive awakening and beginning right away really doing psychic work and healing work without any training except from my guides, I started to sort of even out, and I started to be able to mend those relationships with my family and to come into more understanding, at least with the church, because it's kind of tricky when you get suddenly psychic. You kind of want to think you're really awesome and that everybody else is confused and forlorn, and that's not it either. And now that I've come around, after having done psychic healing work for the past 7 years and teaching and channeling and all this crazy stuff that I frankly never believed in before I got psychic, I now am starting to relax into it and realizing, oh, look at that. You know, I'm so glad that I was a lawyer, because I have this language and this analytical mind, and I understand the systems, and I deeply respect people who live in the left brain world as well as the right brain world. And I feel honored that I have this strange flip-flop experience because I feel like now I get to be a bridge, you know, of understanding, translation, and a pragmatic, intuitive empowerment, you know, because I was going off in the other direction. You know, I spent quite a few years living at Harbin Hot Springs, which is a hotbed of liberal tra-la-la-ing in the beautiful forest and hot springs and naked people and hippies and New Agers, and that has its positives and its negatives too. Coming around full circle now, I'm just really happy and delighted to see, even though the world is in such a interesting, intense transformation, it really gives me hope to see all the old structures falling apart, because the shaman in me goes, yay, it's time. even though the lawyer in me is like, well, now what the hell are we going to do? How are we going to fix this? And what does this mean for money and structure and power and politics? And what a fabulous time to be alive and to be walking in both worlds.
Yes, and that we're multidimensional is obvious from what you're talking about, because we've all had experiences from the extreme light to the extreme dark, and everything in between that and above and below. So, you know, it's an amazing experience to have walked through so many fires and to still have feet.
Absolutely.
One of the things that many of my guests talk about is something that Lucia Renee addresses in her book, Unplugging from the Patriarchy, And that has to do with the fall of the Roman Catholic Church and the destruction of the shamanic, the indigenous tribes, and the travesties that have been pulled in God's name, and the fact that the patriarchy is maintained so so strongly. And then there's judgment about, you know, being this, being that, homosexuality, and while they're practicing pedophilia and the rest of it. So it seems that those structures, you did a wonderful article, by the way, on your website called Even the Pope is a Recovering Catholic, which I loved. I mean, it was really great.
Yeah.
And maybe you can talk a little bit about how these structures... We can see from this side that these are very destructive forces that seem to be in operation, controlling the lives of so many people. And yet, how do you see this transformation from the old patriarchal view to a shamanic, divine wisdom of the feminine?
Right. Well, to tell you the truth, I see that we are weaving something brand new. And I do see that the feminine is what's really emerging right now. Not to take over, but to really balance things out. And yes, we have been living under a lot of masculine power, and not the good kind of masculine power.
Right.
Because
right.
I think the poor masculine's really been getting a beating, you know?
Yes.
He's like, what? I'm a good guy. I'm trying my best. And, of course, any flavor of power, masculine, feminine, up, down, it can all be corrupted by anything that's not in the intention of the highest good, right? So when we're in the intention, this is my belief anyways.
Okay.
See how it lands with you guys. But, you know, my belief is that if we have the intention for the highest good, in other words, not just what's good for me or even what's good for me and my kids, but what's really in the highest good? What can we do that really benefits everybody? And if we're moving in that direction, whether it's masculine or feminine or Catholic or Jewish or atheist, as long as we're moving in that direction, we're kind of all in the same, we're all in the same boat. We're all in the same flow. We're all following the same Tao. When I look at the Catholic Church, and it was really fun to write that article as a recovering Catholic myself, who still has a lot of respect for the good parts of the church.
Oh, right.
So it was fun to write an article that says, look, you know, we... As recovering Catholics, first of all, we're all recovering Catholics because we're all recovering fill-in-the-blank. We're recovering corporate structure people. We're recovering academic people.
Right.
We're all recovering from whatever structures. You could just replace the word Catholic with whatever the restrictive box was that you are now releasing yourself from, whoever you may be. And as a recovering Catholic, there's definitely a time where when we're pulling away from these patriarchal structures and we're looking at them and saying, bad patriarchal structures, and we have a tendency to kind of go into rebellion. And as anybody, you know from energetics, well, that doesn't really work. If you're rebelling from something, you're still kind of feeding it, right?
Yes.
You're still feeding the old stuff.
Yep.
And yet, when we take a broader perspective, like I'm enjoying doing with the Catholic Church right now, I'm saying, well, looky here, you know, here's another one of these old, good-intentioned, but highly hierarchical, slow-changing structures that's been driven by power much too much for way too many years, instead of being driven by the highest good, and it's beginning to crumble. And as it crumbles, those of us who've been inside of it are finding ourselves itchy, kind of itchy, like, even if you want to stay Catholic, there's parts of it you just don't want to have anything to do with. And in that respect, even the Pope is a recovering Catholic because he basically had to pull out of the church, you know, out of the structure he was in. And I'm talking about the old Pope, what we would consider now the old Pope. Because all of that crumbling crumbled down on him too, you know, and he had pulled his own shenanigans and he got caught. And so it's really, I see it as a deep analogy for a lot of our structures that are crumbling down around us. And I feel like our biggest challenge is not just to rebel and say, bad patriarchy, but also to look back and say, okay, what did we learn? You know, what did we learn from participating in this system? And I wrote in the article, you know, don't throw baby Jesus out with the bathwater. Like, Jesus,
right.
Jesus is a way bigger guy than the Catholic Church has been giving him credit for. You know, he was a feminist, activist, political upstart. I mean, this guy had it going on, right? So what if we just, instead of saying, oh, Catholic bad, Christian bad, what if we go, well, who was this guy? What did I learn about this guy? And what if we also step apart and say, oh, a lot of us practicing shaman, pagan, New Agey people did grow up Catholic. And we end up saying, well, where's my ritual now? Because we were used to ritual. We went to Mass every Sunday. Or we were guilty because we didn't go to Mass every Sunday. But
right.
Now we get to ask ourselves, what's my ritual now? Ritual has a deep value in our lives. You know, the act of ritual simply being to do something physical that gives some real oomph to our intention.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever the ritual may be. And so I thank the Catholic Church for making me a ritual lover. I thank
right.
the Catholic Church for teaching me that prayer is important. You know, just talking to God, just listening to God. I thank the Catholic Church for showing me how to meditate. You know, I mean,
right.
yeah, it's on a rosary, but it sure translates over pretty easy to silence, and that's done me a lot of good.
So
I really get excited. Again, it comes back to being a bridge, you know, and walking in both worlds. I get really excited about looking at, yeah, the structures are crashing down. Good. What did we learn? And that's what the article, the Recovering Catholic article on my website's really about, and that's really where my healing comes from. Because you kind of mentioned early in the show, you said, well, gosh, to go from being a lawyer, you know, to being a distance healer, what the heck?
Right.
And the truth is, Lance, there's so much lawyering in my work. I'm negotiating on behalf of your soul's choice with your guides. So I get to talk
sense.
To your soul strategists and your guides, you know, whatever those energies are that I call soul strategists and guides, but it's the energies that guide your life. And when I'm in there talking to them on behalf of a client, sometimes it does feel like I'm a lawyer because I'm saying, you know, she's really done with all this guilt and shame and she's really ready, when I'm going to say she, like she's my client, right? She's
right.
really ready to step into her power and have more pleasure and experience life in a whole different way. Can we get rid of this shame and guilt thing? Do we really need this anymore? And I feel like I'm back in the courtroom a little bit, you know? But that's the power of our choice, and the client has that choice. I want to do this a different way. I don't want to continue in this pattern. And sure enough, what do you know? You can negotiate with life because you're a powerful being in a physical body, and you still have access to the power of that free choice.
That kind of brings up a topic that resonates for me because one of the things that I find rather discordant about the church is their view on homosexuality and in birth control. And you mentioned those birth control in your writing. And that brings up the idea of guilt and shame, and
absolutely.
I know that you work with clearing the blocks.
Uh-huh.
What is a truly healthy and inspired way to view our sexuality and our sensuality as it relates to the world around us?
Well, it's kind of one of those big secrets, you know. It's a big secret that we don't talk about anymore. And as many of us know who've studied history and how you control people, one of the main ways to control human beings is to control their sexuality and control their sexual power. Now, I want to give reference to my adopted family, which is Apache, Kiro Apache, Maria Yesbru, who's one of my primary teachers, and my adopted mama, who's a ceremonialist. And what she taught me about that tradition is that, you know, and she was raised on the land, on the reservation, and traditionally, and she said, you know, in that tradition, sexual energy, sexual power is your power. There's no separation as if the act of sexing is somehow apart, dirty, different. It's the way you create a child, and it's the way that you create your life. The way that you move your passion is the way you create your life. And you could look at this and then draw straight lines across to the law of attraction teachings, and what we know about manifestation is that when we direct our passion and our enthusiasm with positive intention, we create stuff in our lives. Like, that's how we do it. In fact, if we use our passion and put it into fear instead and think negative thoughts, we create that in our lives. I mean,
right.
We're experts at creating our lives.
Right.
We're doing it all the time, consciously or unconsciously, right? So in my mind now, my opinion is that a healthy view of sexuality is that it's the responsible stewardship of the most powerful energy that we have, which is our power to create our passion and our intention. And so sexing, like actually getting it on, is just one little aspect of that.
Right.
Because I believe, because this is kind of more my experience now, that life can be like a love making with everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, literally making love, not making love, but like in every moment, receiving the beauty of what's around me, really appreciating like I would a lover what's around me, whether it's my very comfortable chair I'm sitting in right now, or the clarity of the light that's coming out of the light fixture, or the colors that are in a piece of pottery that's sitting in front of me. It's all this beautiful, sensual, delicious experience of life that moves my passion and my inspiration in my body. And so this, you know, we use terms like turned on. Well, how turned on do you feel when you've just hiked to the top of a hill and you're surveying the whole land and it's absolutely gorgeous? You know, that's turned on. That's a big resonant yes, right?
Right.
So why do we relegate that kind of feeling only to the act of sexing? I think it's because it's the only place we really allow ourselves to go there much anymore, and it's just because it's such an intense experience that we can't help but kind of go there into that ecstatic state, which I believe is our birthright.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and what have you got? If you've got a populace that is in this turned-on state of, wow, everything's so beautiful, and, ooh, I can really feel the people around me because my heart is open, and I feel my body, and I know that my body needs water now or needs exercise now, and I don't need anybody to tell me what my body needs. Well, gosh, you got, you know, a whole community of people who are that inspired and empowered, it makes it really hard to control them.
Right.
So, of course, you know, while we as a global human community were playing around with patriarchy, of course we wanted to create control so that we could all experience what it felt like to control each other and what it felt like to be controlled. And now I'm speaking kind of from the perspective of our souls, not so much our personalities. Like, nobody was going, woohoo, you know, yay Inquisition. Nobody was really doing that. But
burning
at a soul
winter.
Level...
Yeah, let's have a
barbecue. Right, let's burn some... Woohoo! No, we weren't having fun. It wasn't a fun thing in the body, and yet... I believe that our souls have been doing some major research and that we kind of got into it for a while, and I'm glad that the tides have shifted and that we're now moving towards a more embodied, ecstatic experience of life, you know, with all that brings. And that includes sexuality, and it certainly doesn't demonize sexuality. It also, I don't think it, after living in the land of and cultures that are extremely sexually positive, I can also say with some certainty that it's not just about letting loose all over the place either, you know?
Right.
I align more with my shamanic mama's tradition, which would say, no, this is sacred stuff, and we are careful with this stuff. We don't demonize it. We don't worship it, but we deeply reverence it. We recognize the power that this energy has, and that when we go into sexing, it is our deepest gift. and our deepest power. And so we step into that with honor and love, and you know, and on also you mentioned homosexuality, and I'll tell you that in the Apache tradition I'm associated with, homosexuality is considered a gift because it means that you're balanced between male and female.
Mm.
It means that you as a person are running both energies. And
well, it
so,
sure feels like that to me.
Isn't that great? I mean,
yeah,
I love that.
I love that.
And I call it full spectrum sexuality, and I believe that whether you consider yourself gay or straight, I really encourage people to experience their feminine and their masculine in sexing as well as in the rest of living.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we're just playing it one way all the time in life, you know, go, 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 or forward, forward, masculine, masculine, in work, for example, and we're not taking the time to receive and enjoy and feel and share, we're missing out. And same vice versa. So, yeah, there's a full spectrum, regardless of who you're in love with. There's a full spectrum of giving and receiving and you know, being the powerful and being the receptor and all that kind of stuff. You get to play with it. We have it all. And it's I'm happy to see that the gender stereotypes are loosening in our culture. I mean, I'm delighted to see how many people are in favor of equal rights for people regardless of who they fall in love with.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, duh, to me, but it's also just so delightful to see that those old boxes of where sexual energy can flow and where it cannot flow kind of idea are just disintegrating into love and acceptance. It's
absolutely
beautiful.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, that has to do with the reverence and the sacred quality of all life. And it seems that when we begin to recognize that within ourselves and make the connections that you're talking about directly, that it becomes impossible to harm another life form.
Yes, yeah, and that's right.
Yes, and so the wars that we have going on that are designed for control, which we were just talking about with the church, the political structures that are designed to maintain and take over more control and repress society even more, those seem to need to break down as well for humans to truly be able to express themselves freely and to shed that yoke of, I don't know what to call it, other than violent, aggressive tendencies to harm other creatures without remorse or empathy.
Yeah. Oof.
Because we can't evolve into the next creation until we have resolved those repressed shadows within ourselves, and a world that is still killing other people and raping and pillaging and controlling and so imbalanced as this one is, cannot stand, cannot continue.
It's changing. You know, it's changing, and it's probably not changing as fast as our brains really would like it to.
Correct.
And yet, when I tune into that, and I kind of ask existence, like, what the heck? Like, why can't we get this show on the road? You know, what I hear is, honey, you won the lottery to be alive on Earth at this time.
Mm.
Like, we didn't just want to come down here and switcheroo and flip the pancake and have it all be done. Our souls think that's boring. We actually, especially, come on, you, Lance, like, and all you mystics listening out there, like, we're a bunch of intensity junkies. We got the golden ticket. We got here, and here we are. And we love it that it's frickin' messy. We love it that it's not done yet. We love it that there's all this angst and back and forth, and there's all this beauty blossoming, and at the same time, there's all this rubble, you know, of systems crashing down. We love this stuff. And when I say that, I can feel part of me inside go, yeah, I really do. as much as I want it to be over right now and all of us to be, you know, skipping around in flowers, like, part of me is like, no, don't miss the in-between. This is where it really gets interesting.
Yeah,
like, what the hell's going to happen?
Yeah,
and I don't think anybody knows. Really, I talk to spirit guides all the time, and people ask me, well, what's going to happen with this and that? And I ask them, and they're like, geez, we don't know at this point. Like, humans do crazy stuff. There's no way we can tell you what you guys are going to do, and it's up to you guys. So we have a good idea. We really don't think the world's going to blow up. We've got some we got some stuff that we might bring in if we need to, and it'll be okay. But in the meantime, you people are playing in the mud. And that's what I feel like we're doing, is we're playing in the mud, and things are on fire, and there's lots of suffering, and there's lots of trouble, and there's lots of political intrigue. And something inside of us, something that knows the mystery school, is going, whee! Lance is like, yeah, so that's why I have this show, right? I mean, this is your mystery school. Your listeners are listening because this is their mystery school.
That's right.
And a big part of us doesn't want to really know what the mystery is. Like, we're along for the ride.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Well, you know,
oh boy.
I sure appreciate you reminding me, because there are times when I look up and see the chemtrails
and
think so much about, you know, is my food contaminated with GMO? I can't drink
right.
tap water because of fluoride and arsenic and all the poisons.
It's overwhelming.
Your body kind of at a certain point says, well, what's the point? You know, we're
right.
being killed here. We're being exterminated. Help us.
Yeah.
You know,
especially the part of you that remembers how nice home is. I've talked to plenty of people. Plenty of my clients have called me just saying, you know, can't I just go home? And I say, well, how are your kids going to feel about that? Well, I guess I need to stick around. Yeah. You kind of do. You know, and the truth is, again, that part of us that won the lottery to be here is giggling with everybody on the spiritual team who's up there winking. And you go, wah, chemtrails, wah, you know, GMOs. And you look up there and you can just imagine your soul strategist winking, like, yeah, buddy, don't you love it? Isn't this great? What a freaking mess you people have made. How's it going to come undone? Ooh, can't wait to see, you know.
Yeah.
And you're just like, grumble, grumble, troublemakers putting me down here again.
I love it. I love it.
So it's good for us to talk this way. You know, we need to hear this kind of talk because sometimes we forget that we created this whole 2012 turnover time, which, of course, you know, isn't just about one year or one date. It's our whole lifetime. This is why we're here. We're turning it over. We're the ones who get to live through the turnover, you know, and it's our grandkids who are going to see the benefits, not us.
So we
might as well kick back and put some water on for tea and watch the show, and participate and do what we can do. It's not that we just, like, give up. But we kind of have to do what we do and be activists for the highest good and at the same time wink at each other and say, isn't this fun? Isn't this fun? And I wonder when the aliens will land. Are they going to help or not? Ooh, I don't know. Let's see, you know.
Yeah.
What are the crop circles this year telling us? Ooh, this is fun, you know. Oh, which of the banks is going down first? Oh, I don't know, but I'm betting on Bank of America, you know. It's like, what are the Asian, you know, power centers going to do? And it's just, there's so much to... There's just so many channels on TV right now.
One of the questions that I have that has just come up recently is, when will the release of the hidden technologies and the truths and the free energy be implemented? And the secrets from that the Vatican's sitting on, my goodness gracious.
Right, right.
And that'll be a thrill to, you know, to see how that unfolds.
And don't you just feel like I think... And I do talk to spirit guides, like I said, and those intelligences that are beyond this dimension but are intimately involved in what's happening and what's playing out here, they're excited, and there is a game plan, and I can feel it. And they release stuff at certain times, and you look at the astrology, and you're like, well, of course, that's when that's going to happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like... Everything is in perfect concert, even though it all seems like total chaos so much of the time. If you look back on the dates of certain things, you're like, oh, you sons of bitches. Like, you're totally doing this on purpose, aren't you? You guys are... you guys are playing us. And it's like, yes, but we're not playing you. You were up here and you planned it with us.
Uh-huh, right.
Don't go
right.
trying to put it off on spirit and blame God. You know, you were up here when the plans were made. So it's we can't even play victim, you know.
Right.
The part of us that knows that that's true. And
how do we begin to trigger that memory, the remembering process of who we are, where we come from, and the divine greatness that we are, even as we have come down into this little tiny physical vehicle, a portion of our soul has come down. We know that we're expanded into the entire cosmos and that we're always connected with Source.
Right.
So what are some of the ways that you find help unblock that energy so that people can go directly?
Well, you know, first of all, I'd like to say that I really respect all souls' decisions. And a lot of souls decide to be embodied here and not be enlightened in that way.
Right.
You know, they're really here to get a divorce, feel poor, hate themselves, you know, live longer than they'd like to, and then off themselves. I mean, it's like and that's cool, and that's perfect for them. And so we can't, you know, there's...
That's right.
So I just kind of want to take the... Anybody listening, like if there's any value judgment, like, you know, everyone in my life must understand all that I understand. It's like, no, they don't.
Right.
They got their own game plan, and that's totally cool. However, for those who want to become more conscious of the fact that they're living in both worlds already and be able to hear both worlds and connect, you know, in these ways, the main thing to do is to love yourself. And this sounds really trite, but it's actually the most powerful, courageous thing you can do. And a simple way to access self-love is to actually sit down, sit still, breathe, and decide to love yourself.
Uh-huh.
And then send love directly into yourself, into your body. Love the inside of your body. Love your heart. Love your womb. Love your belly. Love whatever you got. Send your love directly in there and be quiet. Just be quiet.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a major one, and some people call that meditation. But I call it sit still and love yourself. That's what I'm calling it right now. Sit still and love yourself. Because meditation sounds kind of scary, like it's hard, but it's really sit still and love yourself, okay? So that's number one. Number two is to connect with nature. Get your butt outside. Touch your bare feet to the earth. Touch your bare hands to a tree. Now even scientists know that there is an electromagnetic pulse that the earth has that feeds us, that regulates our hormonal system, that regulates our nerves, and it opens up your intuition. So if you're not spending any time in nature, you're gonna get stuck in your head, and you're gonna be a thinky, and maybe sad person.
Mm-hmm.
If you've been feeling really anxious, especially with everything that's happening in the world, the immediate cure is to go outside and put your bare feet on the ground and breathe and just let go into the earth. It's so simple, but, you know, this whole intuitive awareness thing, it's really your birthright. It's not like some special woo-woo thing. I don't even really like the word psychic anymore because it sounds so scary.
Mm-hmm.
The truth is we're all intuitive. If somebody creeps up behind you without saying anything, you're going to feel it.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody just had a big argument in your bedroom, and then you walk in there, you're going to be like, what the hell just happened in here? You know? I mean, we are all deeply sensitive in our own ways. So let's see. What did I give you so far? I'm going to touch the earth and
get into nature, bare feet.
Sit still and love yourself.
Right.
And then I'm going to put this one third, even though maybe in the order of things it should come first.
Okay.
And that is clear the way. Because there's old stuff that you're holding on to. And, you know, you can get a clearing with someone like me and kind of accelerate things a lot, but you're powerful. You can just simply choose. You can pray, and if you don't like the word pray, how about intend? Because whatever, it's the same thing. You can strongly intend, a.k.a. pray, and ask for help from the powers that be to support you in letting go of everything that's shutting you down. Just like it's time. It's time to release the shame, release the guilt, release the old self-hatred, the old self-sabotage, release the trauma you're holding on to from when you're a kid or when you're a teen or when you're whatever. And it's not easy to do that, but it is possible. And when we ask for it with big open heart and we're serious about it, especially if we do the other two things, sit still and love yourself and go outside, it'll start a process where you begin to cleanse yourself from the blocks that are keeping you from your natural knowing, your natural, intuitive, imaginative connection to all that is, your ability to pray in your own way without anybody else telling you how to do it. So those are my top three right there for how to be a happy, healthy, intuitive, connected person.
I know that when you mention praying to the powers that be, that you mean the highest divine source within that is outside the matrix of the powers that be that control the matrix.
Yeah, I mean, I know who's the highest, and you guys know too. Like, you know, come on, like the powers that be in this dimension, they're playing tiddlywinks compared to what's going on. Yeah, come on. I mean, if you've ever been in the room when somebody dies, or if you've ever witnessed a birth, or if you've ever fallen in love, or if you've ever felt, you know, the intense pleasure and meaning of life, you know, standing on a mountaintop, or just taking a deep breath, you know, you witness someone you love in an important ritual like a marriage or a funeral, or, you know, you have the direct sense in these moments of what the highest power really is, and while we can't put our fingers on it, you know, it ain't the Illuminati.
No, it's not the Illuminati.
You know, it's the one that maybe temporarily gave the Illuminati some power so that they could play the game that we came here to play.
Right.
But now that game is wrapping up, and so those who are given power are now finding their powers sifting out of their hands, and it's confusing for them and for everybody else. And they're scrambling with their last, you know, ditch efforts to put it all together. But far beyond that, I'm hearing the big giggle. I'm hearing there's a big giggle going on, a kind of giggle that says, oh, no, you know, we're on the road to a different way of living now. And the grid has changed. The earth has changed. And we humans are just catching up. It's easier to feel the reality of that when you're outside, sitting on the earth, sitting still and loving yourself. Like, I dare you, all of you, you know, scientist types who want to protect the earth from all the travesties and the conspiracies, and, you know, who love the earth, but you might be getting kind of, I don't know, distracted by all the crappy stuff that's going on. I dare you to go outside, sit on the earth, and love yourself. I swear, and the lawyer in me is rolling her eyes right now, but you know what? It frickin' works.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I just watched an old French movie, I think it was made in 1998, called The Green Beautiful, which you can see online if you Google it.
Oh,
and
cool.
It is just a wonderful French film about these beings from another planet that have to send somebody into Earth. And it's just a wonderful, funny look.
Oh, yeah, I think I saw that one. Totally funny.
Yeah, I just found it again, and I just laughed and laughed and laughed. It was just so true.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, people get knocked out of their... they get disconnected, and they can only speak and hear the truth.
Right.
And doesn't it seem that we're moving closer, those of us who are a little more aligned with our awakening process and our soul journey, are becoming more truthful, and it becomes less tolerable to be around anything that is less than in our truth vibration.
That's correct. That's correct. And you know what's so funny is it's not just happening to those of us who feel aware. It's
right.
happening to
right.
to the common guy all across the country, and the common guy all across the country is starting to not believe bullshit, and he's really kind of confused about that.
Mm-hmm.
And he's still kind of shaking his head like, blah, 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 you know, like he's waking up from a nap going,
right.
oh, no, I don't really even believe this stuff anymore. What am I going to do?
Mm-hmm.
What am I going to do? And it's
one of the things that's very interesting. One of the things that I consider is that we're part of the human collective, and it's connected telepathically already.
Correct.
And so those of us who feel that we're working alone or that we don't make a difference, and yet we have this profound awareness and the intent to hold the highest good, often don't see it because we are not seeing. We're seeing with our eyes and not the subtle senses. But if you imagine that everything that we empower ourselves with ripples out into the collective and actually makes a difference, just as if you were throwing a stone out.
That's right.
And it affects all the people who are, you know, beer drinking, guzzling, game lovers, you know, all of them, everybody, everyone in
connected.
The collective is raised in vibration when we raise our own vibration.
That is absolute. I believe that completely, and I witness it. Yeah.
Yes.
And sometimes we put so much on ourselves, like, oh, I have to go out and I have to do this and do that and do this, you know, as light workers, like we're light workers, like we got to go to work, you know, we got to really work, push, push, push. And guess what? Then you got a bunch of light workers that are so stuck in our heads that we're just as bad off as everybody else. And we're not actually doing our true work, which is embodying this resonant frequency. You know, when we're really doing our thing, we are completely in a ecstatic union with everything that we're feeling, and we are aware and loving ourselves. And just that experience, which is, you could say that's an internal experience, is like a transmission tower.
Uh-huh,
and it affects everybody. And you notice this because you have people in your life that are like this. They're just like, they light up a room. They're not even doing anything, but they light up a room. They light up the block.
Uh-huh.
And yes, those of us who are conscious that this is the truth, well, for crying out loud, we're totally out of excuses as to why we shouldn't be doing what brings us the most joy and enthusiasm and passion.
Yep.
We actually need to. That's the only thing we can do.
Yes,
because we can fight and, you know, march around. And if you feel called to be in activism, I'm not saying that's naughty. Like, that's awesome. But if you're not feeling called to be in activism, then for crying out loud, don't force yourself. Because then you're just another mopey person pushing themselves out of a sense of obligation and fear, which is exactly the thing we're trying to transition out of.
Exactly.
So they're like, oops.
Yeah, if it's not easy, then there's something wrong. If I'm having to work too hard at something or I have to jump over too many hoops, then I have to ask myself, what is it that's forcing me to move forward in this direction when it's not flowing?
Right. And look at where we ended up, back at the resonant yes.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Because if I'm really sincerely, you know, if I'm just sitting still and loving myself, and spending time with nature and spending time with those I love and connecting with love as best as I can and telling the truth, that's all there is to do, you know? And then it's I'm waiting, I'm anticipating and enjoying the wait for the next resonant yes.
And
when the resonant yes comes, it always opens the way, right? Everything's
absolutely
easy when it's a resonant yes. It all falls into my lap.
And don't you find that it's important too for all of us to be aware that there's no judgment in anything that we do? So, for myself, I notice that I will judge certain aspects of my life as less productive or less this or that, or this is wrong or bad. And if we embrace everything, there is no wrong choice. There is nothing that we can do that's wrong. There's no judge.
That's correct, yeah.
We're the only ones that hold the judge and jury, and we, you know, hold that over ourselves, and that's just programming and belief systems.
So true, Lance. You got it, man. That is so true. I mean, when I go into journey for a client, Uh-huh. And I ask permission, I set up protections, and then I go in and then I call that person's spirit guides and I say, hey, can you guys help me out? And they show up, and you know how they always show up? Smiling. They show up excited, happy, enthusiastic, no matter what kind of image they might show to me to represent themselves. The one thing that is always true, is when I meet your guides, they are psyched. They are ready. They love their job. They love the person who's embodied that they're working with. They're your staff. They're so excited. You can't make a wrong decision when you're embodied on Earth, as far as they're concerned. This is like your big shot to play in the circus, you know?
Yeah.
You could sit and eat popcorn all day, and they'd go, wow, what was that like to be bored? That's amazing. Thanks for doing that, you know? You could do a bunch of self-destructive behaviors, and they'd be like, wow, you learned so much about what it feels like to destroy yourself. You could never learn that at home, where everything's pure love. Isn't that cool? Way to go. You know, and you're just like, what the heck? Didn't I mess up? Well, you know, we will have to clean you off a little bit when you come back home, but that's all right. We got the tools. We have the technology. It's all good.
That's right, right. Right. Have you ever been surprised by a person's team of spirits and guides and teachers and angels? Well, tell us about that.
Well, they show up in different outfits. as you can tell, I enjoy my sense of humor, and they know that too. And so sometimes to kind of drive something home, they'll show up really dressed up. Like, I remember once I was journeying for a guy who was actually quite a skeptic and kind of a scientist guy, and his guides all showed up as like circus performers. And they were all, and I was just like, oh no, I'm going to have to tell this guy. I was hoping they would be like something really respectable, you know, but they were all like circus performers. And the cool part is, you know, that it always ends up making sense to the client. So I was kind of like, whew, you know,
right.
Oh, that makes sense because, you know, oh good. But, I'm surprised all the time. And to tell you the truth, like, there's still a big part of me that's a lawyer that just is like, really, we've been doing this for 13 years and it still works? Like, how can this work? You know, there's still part of me that just thinks, what a crazy job. And yet, and there is that part of me that every time I get a note back from a client that says, you are so right on, and now I can sleep at night, or, you know, now I can enjoy intimacy, and now I don't have that guilt anymore. I'm reading their thank you note, and I'm going, really? Wow, really? And my lawyer's like, geez, you know, they pay us money, and this stuff works. That's just, it still kind of blows me away, and yet we're surrounded by so many miracles, you know, why should it surprise us anymore, you know? I believe other people's magic so much. I've witnessed so much magic, and I feel so happy and privileged to have so many great teachers. And, I mean, I could still be a Catholic lawyer, you know?
If
my life hadn't shifted in the way that it did, and, you know, at the time I was kind of mad at God, but...
Was there something that triggered the shift, or was it just your team that
It was that birth, you know? I really think it was birthing Clarice that opened my channel so wide.
That's right.
You know, but and a lot of shamanic people say, oh, they had an accident or a near-death experience, and I had a near-birth experience, I guess. And it was sudden. It was big. And it was a big change, and yet it felt totally natural. And that's one thing, you know, that I just want to affirm for those people who may be having, a lot of people are having an awakening of their intuitive and psychic abilities, and it's natural. And as long as you stay aligned with holding the intention for the highest good, putting yourself in service to what is truly in the highest good, you're going to be guided, and you're going to be fine. And just dealing with the energies that you feel and know are trustworthy, because that's what you've set your intention for, it's okay. You know, we're dreamers. We're imaginative beings. Look at us before we're trained. When we're 6 years old, we are magical children still inside.
Yes.
And so,
yes.
You know, as people are awakening, and it's a huge mass awakening happening right now, I'd just like to remind everybody, hey, this really is natural. Every night when we dream, we're journeying. Every night. Every night.
I love it. I love doing that at night. It's
yeah.
one of my favorite times now is going to bed
really?
So I can dream.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had some great ones this morning. I don't remember them, but I didn't want to get out of bed. I wanted to go back.
Oh, my gosh. My teachers say this is such a massive time for dreaming. My teacher, Beatrix, who's an incredible astrologer, Beatrex.com, and she's been saying, yeah, with everything, so much water this year, we're just going to be dreaming. So.
Oh, right. A lot of Pisces energy.
Oh, my gosh. So much
right.
water. So it's a big year for the feminine. It's a big year for intuition. It's a big year for us as dreamers.
What do you see coming up in the near... March is said to be a kind of a pivotal month in this year. What do you feel intuitively is coming up for all of us?
I really... For me, it's so big that it's kind of hard to put in words, and yet what I keep coming... too is this feminine awakening. And when I say feminine, I don't mean just for girls, you know, but for all of us, that part of us which is the receptive, magical, the one that's drawn towards things because they make a difference, the meaning of life versus the getting or done part of life, is rising in us. And you know how she rises first is like the lava in a volcano as the destroyer. So she comes through life and says, bullshit, you know, and she just kind of tears through and wants you to get rid of everything in your life that's not true or that you're using to manipulate or whatever. And then if you go for that and you clean out, then this beautiful, purpose-filled inspiration can flood you, especially if you're following those three steps, right? Especially if you're... you know, sitting and loving yourself and you're going outside into nature and you're setting your intention to clear the way, then it's really going to make room for this delicious love of yourself to take, I don't want to say take over because that's not it, but to inspire and flood you and open the heart and not just become woo-woo, like, I believe everything kind of namby-pamby open the heart, but open the heart with, you know, sort of truth kind of open heart where you know what's important. You remember what is sacred to you and you, because that's the feminine, is the me, what gives your life meaning? Mm-hmm. What is sacred to you? Not just what do you want to accomplish? We love accomplishing, don't get me wrong. We love building stuff, and that's some of that is masculine, but the other side is what gives it meaning? Why bother? What do you hold sacred? And so these are the questions that are rising, and they are disturbing questions at first, and that's what's happening, you know, this whole springtime right now is it's a little bit merciless, quite frankly, this energy. It's like, look, you want to keep playing the game? You want to keep playing around? You want to keep hating yourself? You want to keep limiting yourself? Or are you ready to open? And if you say, yes, Mother, I'm ready, like, open me. Well, you better put your seatbelt on, because this is the year.
Fasten your seatbelt. It's going to be a bumpy night.
Woo, it's going to be a swoopy, delicious ride.
I love
terrifying
it.
Terrifying
at first. I love
yes.
it. Yeah. I love it. Well, you know, we're just about out of time, and I wanted to make sure that you had a moment to mention your website and where people can find you. And I just want to thank you for being with us tonight. You have you're such an inspiration, and I've had a wonderful time talking to you.
Me too, Lance. Any old time you want to have a chat, I'm up for it.
Oh, great. Wonderful. So where can people find you?
So my website is yonishaman.com. That's yonishaman.com. And there you can find information on my clearing sessions that I do long distance via email. It's the best way to do it. Works great. And I also have a subscription program for people who'd like to receive sessions from me on a regular basis and also receive some mystery school teachings every week, an exercise that helps you open your own intuitive awareness so you can be the shaman.
Wonderful. Well, Melissa, I know that people will find you, and I can't thank you enough for being here today with us.
Well, thank you so much, Lance. Have a great night, everybody.
Yeah, all right. Good night, everybody.
Good night.